us now is a guy that any woman would fall in love with. His name is Patrick Wanis, and he is a celebrity life coach, and he knows a lot about human behavior. But the reason that women like him so much is that he is so pro-female, and there are very few men who have a voice for women. I wish you were a woman that had a voice for women, but, you know, I'll take it where we can find it. Originally from Australia, if you notice an accent, he's going to talk today a bit about explosive anger. Is everybody capable of exploding with anger? Are we all like that?
Oh, of course we are, Sally, because this is a human emotion. We all have the capacity for explosive anger, and let me expand on that and say there is good and evil in all of us. We make the choice of what we're going to express. I don't believe that there's just purely good people and purely bad people. I believe that that dark side and that light side exists in all of us.
All right. Very Nietzsche of you. But
I guess so. Well, you know, I don't want to get into the philosophy of it, but I think it's all there, because you'll sometimes see somebody everyone thought was great, and he's done something that appears to be out of character and is evil. We all have the capacity, because in every moment we're making a choice.
All right. Do you believe, since it started this way, I'll go with it one more sentence. Do you believe that evil exists?
I guess I do, because we have the ability to express it. I think it's within us. We have the ability to express good or evil.
Okay.
I mean, it's like any choice. You know, you can choose to do something you know that's going to hurt someone, or you can choose to do something that's going to be good for someone. It's just a choice, and I think it exists within us, and we can choose what we're going to express. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but I do believe, yes, it's in all of us. That doesn't mean we're evil. I just think it's that sense of duality, you know, and I'm not sure. You know, I've written a book called Finding God, and I do talk about that, because if you study it, there was a time when people thought God was both good and evil. And even in the Old Testament, God kills people. He wipes out. You know, that. So you've got to look at it a little more openly and say, we all have the capacity. Which emotion are you going to choose to express?
In Eastern religions, that's true, too. Good and evil exists in everything. That's yin and yang.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and originally, if you go all the way back and you study the evolution of the concept of God, when things went bad, they thought God was angry. There you are, explosive anger. We've done something to annoy God, and he's angry with us. Now, sometimes it was God, sometimes it was the gods, sometimes it was a specific god, and most of Greek mythology is about gods that get angry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you and I have talked about narcissism. Well, that was the same concept. The woman that was scorned, the goddess that was scorned by her lover, so what does she do? She curses him. So, yes, I think it's always been around, and we have the choice, what are we going to express?
Well, I always thought that people who are suddenly angry like that, something has touched a button. You know?
Oh, big time, yes. Anger is simply a response or reaction to having been hurt or injured. Any kind of injury. Someone could kick you and you get angry, you want to kick them back. Someone could cheat on you in a relationship and you get angry. Someone could mentally hurt you. I mean, it could be physically, verbally, mentally, emotionally, sexually.
Or imagined.
Also yes. Imagined. Because right. It doesn't have to be real. It's whatever right. You mm-hmm. feel.
Is right. It always negative anger?
No, not at all. Let's say I'm walking down the street and there is a woman and someone's attacking her and assaulting her. I'm going to need anger to get in there and push that guy off and maybe hit him or kick him or do whatever I can to protect that woman. If I choose to keep hitting that man after the woman's safe, that anger has turned into rage and something completely negative and destructive. If I'm a child and my parent is being abusive or someone else is attacking me, is there anything wrong with me being angry to protect myself? Not at all.
Huh.
So you've got to look at how you're using the anger. Unfortunately, Sally, most of us play out our anger. We live in it, we stay in it, and we just keep expressing it, but we don't learn how to truly release it and set us free from it. Because, here's the part that you're looking for, the anger is only hiding another emotion. Beneath that anger is the real hurt, the rejection, the betrayal, the lack of love, whatever the deeper emotion might be, the sense of worthlessness, the sense of not being cared for. I know that you have some friends that used to be your producers that are now working for the Montel Show.
Right.
I was just on the weekend working with a family in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Sally, this is one of the most amazing experiences of my life, because I'll tell you this, because it does relate to anger and what we're talking about. here is a blended family, a father who has two girls from a former relationship, the mother has a girl from a former relationship, and then together they have another daughter, a two-year-old.
Whoa.
The 14 and 16-year-old were violent, and were one of them, the 14-year-old, Chelsea, tried to strangle her sister three times and kicked her stepmother in the stomach when she was pregnant.
Wow.
Now, there's no way anyone can say that that anger is positive, but you have to ask yourself, what is beneath that anger? Why would this girl do this? And this other mother, this new stepmother has been quite loving. Not perfect, but more loving than any other woman has been to these children. Why? Because they were both abused as children. Sexually abused, physically abused, beaten by their first birth mother and then by their next stepmother, not by their present stepmother. When I did hypnosis with her eyes open to the 14-year-old Chelsea, this is a little girl, Sally, that is 14 years old, has the body of a 9-year-old. She just looks like she has the sense of like her body's never grown yet, and yet, on her face, she looks like she could be a prostitute of 30 years of age or a drug addict or a junkie because of the amount of pain inside. You're going to see this on TV. And when I first start talking to her, she talks about how she says her father is trash. She says her father is trash. Why? Because he's not there. He doesn't listen to her. He doesn't pay attention. He doesn't care about her in her eyes. When I'm doing therapy with her and she's there on the table sitting next to me, she's almost curled over with her head down on the table. She can't even look up. She can barely speak. As I progressively try to connect with her, her body's lifting up a little bit. She's now sort of sitting semi-upright. And I have her in a trance state with her eyes open. I did no formal induction. And there you get to feel the pain as she continues to just cry and cry. And I'm wiping her tears and blowing her nose while I'm doing therapy with her. And you see where that anger comes from, because from the age of 3 she was abused. So that anger was her response to the world. She said it in the pre-interview. She said, "I'm angry at everyone." And during the therapy session, she says, "I trusted and the trust went away." So there it was for her. She was physically hurt. She was sexually hurt. She was emotionally hurt. Her trust was betrayed. Don't you think she's going to be angry?
Yep. Can that child be saved?
Yes, 100%. At the end of that session, I helped her to first let go of the pain that she's been holding inside her body. That's the pain that she's expressing when she gets angry. I helped her to release that. I did some pretty strange exercise. I say strange because it's not what you'd expect to ever see on any television, let alone even in a therapist's clinic. And she was able to release that pain, and you can see how different she looks at the end of it. Here's the powerful point. She goes outside, and she's standing outside in the fresh air at night. This is just a few minutes after our session. I see her dad. He hasn't witnessed any of this. And I said to him, "Go up to her. Just hug her. Hold her." Because I've already done a session with him earlier in the day.
Right.
They are holding and hugging for minutes and minutes. They've never done this before. And you're thinking, a father hasn't hugged his 14-year-old? No, he hasn't. Hardly ever. And they usually push him away. When they come back inside, the little girl Chelsea is sitting on the couch hugging one of the female producers. Dad is so happy and ecstatic because he says, "I got my family back." He says, "In 11 years of therapy, we've never been able to get this family back together. These girls have been in therapy since 3 or 4 years of age." I mean, just unbelievable young age. Yeah. The 7-year-old is on medication. Can you believe that someone would give a 7-year-old medication?
Well, yeah. A lot of them are given medication. It seems an unconscionable thing to
because
do.
Because they don't know how to help. And how much easier to say...
Right.
How much easier is it for me as a professional to say...
Here's a pill.
Here's a pill, because now I'm not responsible for you. Right. And if the pill doesn't work, well, it works for most people, so here, try another one.
Oh, dear.
I'm really fascinated that you're using the hypnotherapy to do that, because, in my research, it looks like that stuff is really making a comeback, that the problem with hypnotherapy is not that it hasn't worked and that it works quickly, but that there have been a lot of mistakes made in terms of how you induce people into the trance.
I think it's much more than that. There's a lot of reasons that hypnotherapy isn't as big as it should be. First, because most of the hypnotherapists are bozos.
Well, yeah, but haven't been properly trained.
They haven't been properly trained, and they haven't dealt with their own stuff.
Well,
are you going to go to a fat person to tell you how to get skinny?
That's a good point.
Because they're a hypnotist? I don't care.
Well, Dr. Phil's written a book on how to be skinny, and he's a fat person, and it was a bestseller, so America will buy anything from anyone.
You can fool some of the people a lot of the time.
A lot of the time.
The problem with it is that there isn't enough deep, formal training for hypnotherapists, and then the training that they get is more about how to hypnotize rather than what to do when the person is hypnotized. I can teach you very quickly how to hypnotize anyone. Part of it is about gaining trust. The second is the technique. The third is how you use your voice. That's easy.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, the client has to work with you because we've talked about this before. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis.
Right.
But do you know what to do when they're hypnotized? So here is Chelsea, 14-year-old. She's hypnotized. What am I going to do with this 3-year-old little girl?
Well, you said you did something very unusual or strange.
Okay.
What was it you did?
Well, the first thing was that I didn't do any formal process with her. Her eyes are fully open as she gets in this trance state. And I'm taking her back to this experience where she was abused. And I said, how old were you? How old are you? She says, 3. And I said, just a little baby. And I said, the 3-year-old little girl. I said, here on the table. Look on the table. Where is she? She says, right there, pointing to a spot on the table. And I said, take her in your arms, lift her up and hold her. And she does. I mean, she motions with her arms, holds her next into her body, and then says, and then I get her to start talking to the baby. Tell her, it's okay, you're safe, I'm here to protect you. It's all symbolic work about helping her to feel safe again and about letting go of the pain. I also did a visualization. I said, where is the pain in your body? She said, in my heart. And if it had a color, what color would it be? She goes, color? I said, what color is it? Black. I said, well, imagine that black now moving out of your heart, moving up and moving up around through your body. And she says, I can't. It's stuck. I said, no, you can do it. Just allow it. She tries it again, and I get her to start moving it through her body, down her arms, through her shoulders, out through her hands. I said, how much black is there now? She said, there's less. Let's do it again on the other side of the body. And I'm visualizing it's about her symbolically, because the subconscious mind works with symbols and images, it's about her symbolically letting go. And then convincing that little baby that there's nothing wrong with her. She didn't do anything wrong. It's safe to trust. It's okay to trust. And to understand why did a family member, not this stepmother, right, why did a family member do this to her?
Now, could that be done with a grown-up, or is there an age at which
it can be done with any age.
Really?
It's sometimes a little harder with the younger ones.
Oh, really?
It's easier because you can usually get them into a trance state deeper because they're more open and they're usually more emotional.
Oh, dear.
It can be a little harder because it usually takes a long time to build the rapport and the trust.
Let me tell you that Patrick has this on his website. And I think it's pretty important for you to go, and it's a free 45-minute audio program on his website, The Psychology of Anger.
PatrickWannis.com/Sally.
Thank you.
Yes, PatrickWannis.com/Sally, and that's for all of your listeners.